I'm going to close with an illustration at the finish of our time, and I'm going to call on every one of you to partake. Now, if your heart's going to start beating out of your chest and your mouth is getting dry because you're going to be called on, welcome to youth ministry. I want to start with gratitude. My heart is so full with gratitude. Thank you to Gospel Chapel for years and years and years of support for Youth for Christ. I am so grateful for being called of the Lord into this ministry. We've had 18 months of laying foundation. I've been the ED here now for 18 months, and I mean, when I actually put that on paper, then you know where the acceleration comes from. It feels like it's been a couple of months, seriously. I came to you last January and was asked to share just a little bit about being the leader here, you know, starting. I was absolutely scared witless. I was so glad I only had 5 minutes to share because I was still asking the Lord, are you sure it's me? Is it not someone else? It took me a year and a half to understand once the Lord gave me a download that it was really me he was calling. Because my role in life has always been one of encouragement. The one who stood behind and encouraged, right? But when I look back now, when I reflect on my life, I see that God has prepared me through my brokenness and my rejection and my shame and everything else that I've gone through in my life to be able to come back and minister to the very kids in the very town where I grew up and graduated. So for that, I'm truly honored and thrilled. We have a video here that sort of gives just a nutshell of what's gone on basically in the first year. So I'm going to just let that play and then we'll carry on.
Feels like I'm walking the world, shifting like sand, looking for a solid stone where I can stand. Feels like a fog where so many believe, nothing is certain but uncertainty. But Jesus, my eyes are on you, it's clear to me. You are the constant, you won't change, the one sure thing, the one sure thing. You are the promise that never will break, the one sure thing, the one sure thing. The fear that has held me is starting to fade. You are my strength, I can take on these days, the world that's unraveling. You're the one sure thing. That has helped.
feels like I'm walking the world like shifting like sand. Looking for a solid stone where I can stand. Feels like a fog where so many believe. Nothing is certain but uncertainty. But Jesus, my eyes are on you. It's clear to me. You are the constant, you won't change. The one sure thing, the one sure thing. You are the promise that never will break. The one sure thing, the one sure thing. The fear that has held me is starting to fade. You are my strength, I can take on these days. The world that's around.
Youth for Christ is an international, I did not know this. Youth for Christ is an international ministry. It has a national ministry and our local ministry here as well. The four tenets of Youth for Christ is prayer. Nothing gets done without prayer. So we have our schedule out on our table there. We have been meeting 2 hours a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the 4 days that John and Lasmin are in. We connect 2 hours a day for prayer. As a human doing, that was really a challenge for me because I've worked full-time as well as part-time ministry leadership here. And so to sit for 2 hours and pray when all of these things needed to be done, like it was like, oh, it was all I could do. I got to tell you now, I run to that time because it is the only thing that keeps me energized and focused to be able to accomplish that which God has called me to do. So, prayer. The number two is healthy and resilient staff. The renovations that you saw happening in that building for the last year and a half have been happening here too. Hugely here too. A year ago, I was not sure that the Lord had called me. He was sure. Now I'm sure. And I can't express to you the confidence in the heart that that gives me. Because now my biggest fear is that I'm going to miss what he wants me to share. I'm going to miss what he wants me to do. People pleasing, perfectionism, all of those things, they're still here and they'll come back really quickly if I don't spend that time with the Lord, right? The third is loving the church. We want to serve and love the church. We are not a church. We want to be helping hands to the church. We want to serve at camps. We have the joy and the privilege of having unchurched kids that we minister to. I am so blessed to know what Awana is doing because our Thursday night program has not allowed me to come in and see it, right? But we have now, with John and Lasmin on board, we were doing it before they came, but now we have unchurched kids who have never opened the Bible who are memorizing scripture verses. For a Jones Pop, a dollar drink, go figure. So we love the church. We want to serve the church because it's about one church. That's what so incredibly ministers to me when I come out to speak to different churches, because it's one church. We're all one church. One body. The fourth is building relationships. Nothing happens without relationships. We cannot possibly do the ministry of the Lord here or at Youth for Christ without relationships. Thursday night, John and Lasmian, bless their hearts, weren't there for youth group. And we had some real fun things happen that haven't happened before. And because John has been leading for the last few months since he's come on, that he's built relationships with some of these kids that I don't have. And, I mean, I'm a mom, but I know that we need dads in the building, okay? But God has anointed me to the point that these raging teenagers actually do listen, and thank God for that. I don't know if I could have stayed if they didn't. But I had to deal with this, and I was, again, just crying out to the Lord, because without relationship, to go and take away that hockey puck and that hockey stick from that girl was going to be really, really hard. So it was, and the Lord just blessed that. But he had some other kids take the puck away, and then I got to protect her stick by locking it up, and it was all good. Anyway, so our Youth for Christ fundraiser, 27 years, this is our 27th annual. March 4th, we have tickets with us today, and we'll have them for sale afterwards if you like. But Dave and Kathy, of course, the chairman of the board, they will have tickets to hound you with as well. So love is just a word until someone comes along and gives it meaning. The entire call to ministry, doing, this human doing, I've been transformed, God willing, not completely, but to a human being. The doing of the ministry can distract. It's a distraction. It really is a distraction. I am so tunnel vision to get the job done. I offend so many people because I have a task right here that I want to tend to that I miss all of this. We miss the opportunity to be ready to speak into the lives of those that God puts in our influence. We need to be ready when the door opens, not when we're ready to speak to them. How many of us know that? It's about building relationships and listening, taking the time to listen to the Lord, because it's like, now's the time. Go speak. And it changes the life. It changes the life. So the accelerated word, God's leading, is to take back, to build an army, to take back this generation. Almost a year on my own at the center praying. Then the Lord's timing, and I almost missed it. But I have such a grace in knowing that the Lord won't let me miss it because it's God's plan, not mine. So we brought John and Lasmian. So I'm going to invite John and Lasmian to come and just share what's on their hearts. I am so blessed because the threefold ministry, seriously, sets 10,000 to flight. So come, John.
There you go. Hi, my name is Lasmian. I originally come from Indonesia, and I have been in Canada for over 5 years, and this big guy brought me here. So, and I'm so glad. And I love Canada, I'm telling you. A lot of good things that I really wish that happened in Indonesia, like in Canada. So, before I came to Indonesia, I was doing ministry as well, before I met this guy. By the way, this is my husband. I'm his wife. Yeah, good clarification. So before we have been married for over 12 years. Anyways, I'm sorry. It's just like everywhere. So I was doing ministry when I was in Indonesia. One of the things that I did a lot different things from pastoring to street ministry or different kind of things. So one of the things I want to share, what God spoke to me when I was doing ministry in Indonesia. One time, in Indonesia, lots of street people, like here you have help from government, from the poor. In Indonesia, we don't have it. So in the end, they had to be on the street, you know, and a lot of them, they have mental difficult. They live on the street, and I'm telling you, some of them, they don't have a bath or shower for years. They're sitting there, they're pooping there, they're peeing there, and they eat from garbage, and they laugh by themselves, and nobody care. I cannot say nobody care, you know. But anyways, the way I see that, so one time I was in the bus, a lot of time, I have been half-hearted toward these people before, but one time I know God spoke to my heart. He said, the last man, do you see them? That the value of their soul is same of the value of your soul. That the value of their soul is same is the value of your soul. So, and right there, I wanted to do something. So, later I came to Canada for visiting, not for staying. At the time, how many years ago? 2005, I believe. And then God spoke to me. Lasmian, do you know that the responsibility of Christian to feed the poor? And I was thinking, God, I'm poor. How can it be? You know, my family's poor. I'm poor. You tell like that? And I say, I argued God. And I said, God, what's happened? If the Christian poor, how can they feed the poor? Guess what God answered to me? No excuses. So, and there is in the Bible, actually, I read that in the Bible. One of the things in the Bible I read about that, when a lot of people, following Jesus, you know, like coming to Jesus, when Jesus teaching, you know, when Jesus taught, and then the disciples say, God, hey, Jesus, why don't you send them home? They need kind of like food, you know, they send them home. And Jesus said to the disciples, you feed them. So that's one of the things that I see in the scripture, that this is really God, and a lot of things. In Matthew 10:25 too, whatever you give to the least, you give to me, that God say, right? So I don't want to explain a lot because we are really short time, since I'm a talker. And then I asked God at the time. I was in Canada for 2 months at the time. And I say, God, if that is really you, ask me to feed that poor. In my thought, the poor is the people in the street in Indonesia that I saw, that God spoke to me, that the same, that the value of the soul is same the value of your soul. So that's my thought. If that's you, God, really, I'm asking you money. I'm not asking for anybody money, but I really ask you for money. So I was praying in the morning. In the afternoon, his friend invited us for lunch. And right there after lunch, he gave me $100 for 2 months. I never had money in my hand, or never people give me money. And that moment, I knew God is saying something to me. So I went back to Indonesia. I did it. So anyways, long story to make short. Yeah, or to make it short. Oh, yes, that's one. And then a couple months. So when we moved to Canada 5 years ago, now I have been. So I was working a lot in a different secular, but I really have heart in my heart. God, I know you have called me. When I was in Indonesia, you called me from work, not from a jobless. He called me from work, and you called me to be a minister. And I say yes. Right now, I feel something missing in me. God, I want to serve you back. So thank God. Later, like, from Youth for Christ, looking for people, and find me. And I thought before, there's no way I can do ministry in Canada. But God say, I do have a way. So I really asked God, God, I really want, could you open the door for me? So he did, through Youth for Christ. So, like, a week ago, last week, and I was praying again, because we spoke in a different church last week, I said, God, what are you saying to these people? What are you saying to us? And God gave me this one, basically. He said, Lasmian, everybody are precious. Everybody are value. Everybody has something to give. And everybody has struggle, but God loves everybody.
That's awesome. Thanks, baby. So you get to meet a little bit of my wife. She's pretty amazing. I like her. So I think before Rita asked me to share a little bit, Laz just shared a lot about our motivation for ministry. And I'm supposed to share a little bit about our values and some of the things that we don't compromise on. But before I do need to say thank you to you guys. And this is on a personal level because I was one of those Awana kids. So, if you want some goods on me, you go find Keith Bidney sometime and ask him about John, and he'll give you some goods. And if that doesn't work, you can always go and talk to Albert and Bernice Fairholm. We hung out with them enough that they probably have some stories. Or Ken Stange. So there's a few people kicking around here who got some goods on me. So if you want to dig out, go digging, you can. And I always think it's so much fun. Like, the Bible says that we're a family, right? And I think it's so neat. In the Old Testament, when they went to war, they organized as families. That's really cool, because we're a family that goes to war together, and we fight for things together. It's really awesome. Now, I attend Life Connection over there with Brian and Avis Logan. That's my church. That's my church family. But it's so fun to come and visit you guys, Because it's just like, you know, having a family reunion where you get to see the distant relatives and all the folks you haven't seen for a while. And just thanks for making us feel at home. And we really appreciate you guys. And I really appreciate you guys. And I feel I owe a debt to you guys a little bit. Because you poured into my life when I was a kid. And I hope you keep doing that for a long, long time in the future. Come on now. It's so important. Every one of us has a job to play. But Laz was talking about how the value of their soul is the same as the value of ours. And so that's our motivation. Laz was also talking a lot about relationship. Everything we do out of relationship. It's our relationship with God and our relationship with others. She shares every week about respect. Because a lot of times we don't know if no one teaches us what it means to respect others and love others. And that's what Jesus taught us. Two great commands. Love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's everything flows out of that. So our basic philosophy when it comes to ministry and our beliefs, and this is something I've carried with me for a long time. Number one is relationship. Everything rises and falls on relationship. So if we're doing a program or we're doing something and it is not allowing the building and developing of relationships, it gets ditched. Because it's all about relationship. The kingdom of God is all about relationship. You can do religion without relationship, but you can't do God's kingdom without relationship. And the second thing that's really, really, really important to us as we minister is that we look at the whole person. Jesus ministered to the whole person. He fed the hungry. He taught about relationships, which is in the realm of the soul. And he taught about connecting with God, which is your spirit. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. You have to have a holistic approach to what we do. So when we look at a child that's coming in, or a young person, or a teen, who's coming in to Youth for Christ, they have a family, they have a place they're going to school, they have friends. And we want to be able to connect with as much of that as we can, because we know that if a family changes, it changes the life of a young person. And so we've had the opportunity to go into people's homes. We've even led some parents to the Lord. And we strongly believe in working together with family, working together with community, working together in the schools, so that young people will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Second thing that's really huge on our hearts is discipleship. And if you really study the Bible carefully, you will discover that Jesus' disciples did not really come to faith in Christ because he hadn't yet died and resurrected until much later. So we apply that same idea, is that we start discipling people before they ever come to the Lord. We start the process of walking them into the kingdom before they're even made a decision for Jesus. And so we always ask ourselves, are we willing to give a few years into this person's life? Yes. The answer is yes. So my hope with discipleship is it doesn't end when someone comes to Christ, but it goes on. God's called me to be a missionary. God's called my wife to be a missionary. She's a missionary here in Canada. And so one of the things that we've sought to establish personally is our mission field. And my mission field is anybody that comes within 6 feet of me. I'm sorry, you're in it. So I just carry that wherever I happen to be in the world. And so our heart is that any kid that we're connected to will not only come to know Jesus, but will come to the place where they begin to be a missionary for Jesus wherever they go. That whether it's doing business, whether it's in school, no matter what it is, anyone that comes in that 6-foot circumference, they're going to connect with Jesus through the way that they are cared about and the character that these kids exude. That's our goal. That's what we're pushing for. Okay? And then the third thing that's really, like the last thing that's really, really important for us in terms of philosophy and ministry is our idea about doing church. You see, we come together once a week as a church body. But church actually goes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's not just when we get together. This is really important. The Bible says don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together as some have done. But we need to continue doing church throughout the week. Jesus, and this is the philosophy, Jesus said, wherever two or three or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. But he never said they all had to be Christians. So when you bring Jesus into your life with the people you're dealing with, whether it be at Tim Hortons, at your job, in the school, he's there. He has come. And you're having church. And so we want to have church every day. When we walk into the school, we want to do church. We want to see Jesus show up. When we're like going to visit a family or something in the community, we want to see Jesus show up. We want to walk in that on a daily basis. And I believe every one of us can do that. So that just gives you kind of an idea of our underlying philosophy of what we do and how we do it. And I hope you're blessed with that. That's good. I'm going to hand it back to Rita.
Thank you, John. Do you see why I'm excited? What a blessing. Lasmine is short in physical stature, but she's not short in spirit, let me tell you. So I'm watching my time here. And so how you can get involved, John's already given the plea. We're not taking any of your workers. God has a call for every one of us on our hearts. And my cry is, ask the Lord, where am I supposed to be? Because it needs to be where God wants you to be, not where the good thing's happening or whatever, right? So prayer. That's how you can help us. Come and join us in prayer. Everyone is invited to come and join us in prayer. We pray a lot more than 1 to 3 on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but we've got that totally open to ministerial, to streets, whatever, anybody who wants to come. We've even had a couple of people the last 2 weeks come in off the street, total strangers, that we've had the blessing to lead to the Lord, okay? And we've plugged them into care groups, and it's like, it's about the big thing. I know when this first lady came in the first day, I was on my own, and I'm just going, God, this is youth ministry. But no, it's not. This is God's ministry, and it's everybody. Partners. We need partners. We can't do this alone. Myself, with one, I had, I think I had 4 or 5 volunteers. I've had 2 girls, so I have no library for boys, okay? Especially 12-year-old boys, and I'm in the building by myself. John and Lasmian have come on board. We now deal with a whole lot more. The whole structure and culture has changed with what's going on there. We've got 15, 16 volunteers now. We prayed. God gave us volunteers. We went, no, God, that can't be the ones you want. But guess what? It is. And he's doing some incredible things through our volunteers. I've only worked part-time. Just this past week, I didn't want to proceed without the board's backing, but they have affirmed that they want me to come on full-time. So I have officially given notice at my full-time job. I have hired someone else there who's been working for a few months training. I've now got someone else who's going to take the other half of the job there. So how many of you have seen Madagascar? Okay. I'm Gloria. I am the hippo on the high line trying to find balance. So if you can pray for anything, please, please pray for balance, because it will not be pretty if I step off, fall off, lose sight of what's in front of me. And having said that, I actually took a tumble downstairs 2 weeks ago, and by the grace of God, I didn't break anything. So I don't need any more tumbles. And that was only from like a couple of steps, right? Bring whatever you're passionate about to share. The lie of the enemy is, I just cook cookies. I just bake cookies. That's what I do. Or I just do this. Or whatever it is that you do, you do not understand that it is a gift from the Lord. And it's not yours to keep. It's yours to give away. So come and give away what fills you up. I do not ask or require of any of my staff or volunteers anything that I am not willing to do. We don't get filled up clean in toilets, right? There's work that needs to be done. Cutting lawns, shoveling snow, chipping ice, whatever. We don't get filled up doing those things. We get filled up doing the passion in our hearts, right? And my passion, seriously, is hanging out with these kids. I mean, my biggest identity is being a mom. My 2 girls grew up. I had my own youth group in my house. But I've never been in ministry before coming into this. I have no formal Bible school training or anything else. What I have is a surrendered heart to God And I've given him my two loaves and my three fish and said, let's do this. So I'm inviting you to come and join us. Whatever it is that you have or you do, whether you like to organize things or you like to do whatever it is you do, come and share it. Share it with the next generation. And as you've already shared, we who speak into these lives, we get filled up, we get growed up in the midst of what's going on, because God works both ways, always. We need help with practical helps, the cleaning of the facility. We have gone from having kids in the building 2 days or two evenings a week, and all it was, we had no programs, all it was a revolving door, a drop-in, in and out, and the culture changed depending on who walked through the door. Absolutely. So my role has been being the big heavy with the big stick at the door. We really felt led to bring in boundaries, bring in some structure, teach them what respect meant. Lazman gives a blurb every week, and it's like they're getting it. They're really getting it. These kids who are not churched kids, who are not committed to Christ, now when we do our devotion, I would love to just videotape this, because it is just incredible to watch what the Lord is doing. We did devotion. We did sharing about the banquet. We did teaching on respect. Dee Dee did it. And again, it was the Lord that pulled it together. Because time. How many has got extra time? Anybody in here got extra time? None of us have got extra time. I mean, if you do, please come see me. We need to know. I mean, the Lord has been downloading in me for 3 days as I've prepared for here. And I feel like the pressure cooker. Poor John and Lazmin come in this morning. I said, please come to the center. I need to, with you. And John's going, like this, right? And it's a matter of, there's so much that God has put in my heart. The biggest fear when you go to speak is you don't get anything to speak. My problem is I get way too much. And it's like, okay, God, what is it today? What's the answer for today? And this has been the acceleration of my life. I have served the Lord for over 30 years. It's taken me that long to get out of the way. It's taken that long for me and my flesh to get out of the way so that God could go, Rita, I've made you the way I've made you for a reason. Like, just chill, have some fun. And that's what he said to us this morning. I got this. Just go have some fun. And I had so much fun with your service this morning. I'm going, like, I want to come here every week. I mean, every church I go to, I want to come there every week, because God is there. God is moving. There are incredible miracles going on. We have had the multiplication of food happen at our center. We have gone from these 2 nights of kids coming in and out. We didn't feed them a whole lot then, but now we're feeding them 4 and 5 days a week. So if you got a little bit of beef in the freezer that's not outdated, that's government inspected, like, we got to follow all the rules, okay? We got to make it at the center, so come make it with the kids. When God called me into this, seriously, we don't have time to snag into that now because I'm over already. But all he did was use what he'd already put in here. And he did kind of fool me, but it was like he worked to get me there. And I am so incredibly blessed to know that none of us are going to miss it if we surrender our heart to Christ and just wait and listen and then move on it. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's stepping out and doing it in the presence of fear, but it's stepping out and doing it anyway. So I'm going to call on you to connect with us. We've got our contact information out back. Come and give away what you have for the glory of God. That's all I've done. Bake cookies with the kids when we had no one in there, because the churches were asking, what are you doing? And I'm going, I was scared to death to come into a place with 50 kids. And so I understand the fear of coming in, but you know what? These are incredible, incredible kids. And we are learning from them every day. It's such a privilege to be a part of it. So I got one last illustration, and this is where I need your help, okay? So I'm visual. I can read a book. I can have people read to me. I don't get it. Maybe I'm dyslexic, but that was never diagnosed. But anyway, so we're going to do a visual here. So the illustration is one person And so here's my gift. God's telling me do something about it, right? So I'm going to go and touch the one person that God's put on my heart. When I touch that person, I want them to stand up. And then I want that person to touch someone. Step out of your comfort zone just a little bit. Believe me, I have never felt more alive, more energized, and more strengthened in my physical, emotional, spiritual well-being than stepping out of my comfort zone. So do it. Mix up church next week. Sit somewhere else. So anyway, so I'm going to do that. So to make it clear, when you're touched, stand up and touch someone. And when you're touched, stand up and touch someone. Is that simple enough? Have we got the instructions? Any questions? Okay? No questions. Let me just see what else I got here. Okay, one consent, 1,000, and two consent, 10,000. But if 30 of us can, let's see, God's building an army to take back this generation. The question is, will you be a part of it? So I just want to set a timing here because acceleration is the word. So I am just going to set my little timer here. And we'll see how long it takes for everyone to get touched just in this room, okay? Okay. Whoops, I didn't reset it. Let's make sure we haven't got that extra time on there. We're back to reset and start. Come on, you guys, this is acceleration. Touch somebody, please. All you got to do is stand up. There are lives at stake with this. This is not a game. It's life and death. Touch somebody. It's important. Okay, once everybody's standing up, someone let me know if you're all standing up back there. Is there anybody left sitting? Let's go. Don't stand still. Keep moving. Just touch one more. Are we all up? Are we all standing? Stop. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Now, that was really quite painless, right? Was it painless? Was that hard? Was that hard? The official time is 46 seconds. 46 seconds, people. You don't have to preach a wonderful sermon. You do not have to do anything big. Just touch somebody. Just touch somebody. When you're standing in line at the counter and God's going. I was so thrilled to hear that Lasmian argues with the Lord too. I like it. I want to just close with 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. Thank you so much.